Rowan Radio on demand. On demand. Download more podcasts at wgls.rowan.edu. The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
And now, Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM presents Studio 89.7. This program focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors in the news. And now, here's your host, Philadelphia radio veteran, Paul Perillo.
The tendency is to start this interview by saying, come on, everybody, let's get happy, or whatever the name of that song was.
Come on, get happy.
David Cassidy joins us here in Philadelphia. If you grew up in the 60s.
No. Was 70s.
It had
1970.
It was 1970. See, I'm dating myself.
And
I'm making you older than you really are.
Thank
too.
You. That's why I corrected you. Forgive me, but the 60s Beatles and all of that. But no, I was. My television show and my first recording and first number one record and album was in 1970. In fact, the latter part of 1970, from September on.
Of course, we're talking about that show by the name of The Partridge Family. It starred David Cassidy and his stepmom, Shirley Jones, and some other kids, one of whom was here a while ago because he was on a book tour, Danny Bonaducci, who's from Philadelphia.
He is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's back in on the East Coast.
Not Danny.
Not Danny, but David. Right. David is back on the East Coast.
Thank you.
Hopefully Danny's staying out of trouble.
That's something I think is a big stretch. I don't see that happening in the near future. But
David is back on the East Coast. He grew up a stone's throw from here in Manhattan, upstate New Jersey, but is very familiar with the Jersey Shore. Family is sort of, I want to call your dad sort of like, and your stepmom, theater royalty, because I mean they really are part of the American theater, if you will.
Oh, thank you. I think they are. My father was. At the time, even though he wasn't famous or world famous like his wife or what I became and my brother became, my father was the consummate theatrical actor. He did over 40 Broadway shows, and I grew up around the theater with him, went on and did 4 Broadway shows myself. So it's been, my family, between my stepmother, my mother, biological, who was on Broadway, did probably 10 shows. And starred in a couple of Broadway shows in the late 50s. My father, mother, stepmother, both my brothers, Sean, who did Blood Brothers with me in 93, 4, 5, and Patrick, who's done 15 Broadway shows, including the original Pirates Penzance on Broadway. He's got a fantastic repertoire theatrically, and like all of us, I think we're the only family. We have 5 of our caricatures in Sardis.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
It is really neat.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very flattered that you would acknowledge that about my family, more than the fame and all the rest of it. It's the work, as my father used to say. It's all about the work, and it has been for me.
Yeah. How is Shirley?
She's great.
Yeah.
I talked with her 2 days ago.
Yeah. I know that we love her here in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
She was here a number of years ago. She was at one of the age expos.
Hmm.
This was, I guess, maybe about 5 or 6, maybe even a little longer than that. But Philadelphia just loves Shirley Jones.
Well, she grew up in Pittsburgh, right outside of Pittsburgh.
How about
She's
that?
A Pennsylvania girl.
Okay.
And a lot of her closest friends grew up with her. That she lived in a little town called Smithton.
Hmm.
And her grandfather owned a brewery that was at the time just exclusively, in fact, I think it still is, called Stoney's Beer.
How about that?
And it's a small brewery that has a reputation. My father used to love to drink Stoney's Beer. it's a wonderful thing to be. I grew up and was born in Manhattan and New York and spent a lot of my time around the mid-Atlantic, South Jersey, Philadelphia. My first Broadway show, my first professional appearance was in the city of Philadelphia at the Schubert Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 18 years old.
Wow.
And it played here for 6 weeks before we went to Broadway. And I got my start in show business here.
You're going to be at the House of Blues. But also, I think somebody has the opportunity, if they go to your website, DavidCassidy.com.
DavidCassidy.com.
They may actually
have dinner with me.
Win the opportunity to have dinner with David Cassidy.
Yeah, if they register on my website, all the people that are going to be there live that night, I'm going to pull a name out of a hat.
That's simple, right?
But yeah, and I'm going to have dinner. It's a wonderful thing for me to be able to. I mean, the internet, frankly, I think has been. There is a lot of negative abuse.
Sure.
And, you know, I think we all understand that there are people sitting in their little greasy rooms and pretending to be other human beings and deception and predators. But it also, for me, it gives me an opportunity to communicate with my fans, and you know, which you can't meet each individual human being, but you can communicate. I get a lot of emails from, you know, people all over the world, and was just here doing a television show, and they said, you know, we got emails from New Zealand, Germany, Australia, Japan, and it's very flattering, and it's also a great tool for me,
sure,
to be able to communicate and hear it, get their feedback.
You are one of those performers, having watched you know, the Partridge Family, and have seen your career sort of jump from that, you know, onto, you know, bigger and better things. But it's always been about the music for you, hasn't it?
I would say it's always been about the work. As a writer, as a producer, as a director. I'm pretty creatively driven, and I think because of my background from, you know, the musical theater and meeting Richard Rodgers when I was 8 years old, and my father had a very odd but connection with, you know, a lot of the great composers from, you know, Burt Bacharach actually was his accompanist when he was a young lad, and Burt hadn't quite cracked it as a
it's hard to believe Burt had not cracked it, you know. It's, yeah, everything's got Burt's signature on it.
A lot of them do. And he's a fantastic guy. Anyway, my father sang a lot of the things that were not recorded originally on Broadway back in the 20s and 30s. Cole Porter went back in, and he did a lot of his early musicals and hired my father to sing it. Hmm. So he knew Cole Porter very well. And the music I grew up with was that, and then my own. When the Beatles broke in 1963, I was watching television on a Sunday night, saw them in the next day, went out and bought an electric guitar.
Sure.
And in my case, I just kept on playing, and it evolved from there. But I studied with the LA Theater Company before I became a professional, and then I moved back to New York from Los Angeles, where I'd spent my teenage years. And I think, you know, I made the commitment to be an actor, and I would never have had an opportunity to write, record, and do all of that had I not landed the role of Keith on the Partridge Family. I don't think that opportunity ever would have happened.
David Cassidy joins us here in Philadelphia.
You know, I made the commitment to be an actor, and I would never have had an opportunity to write, record, and do all of that had I not landed the role of Keith on the Partridge Family. I don't think that opportunity ever would have happened. But I got to work with Jerry Goffin of Goffin and King, Barry Mann, Cynthia Weil, Tony Romeo, who wrote I Think I Love You, and, you know, Wes Farrell produced and wrote Hang On Sloopy and Come a Little Bit Closer and Boys that the Beatles recorded. And the musicians I got to work with every night, because I was recording not just for the television show, for the Partridge Family, but also as David Cassidy in my solo recording. So I was in the studio virtually every night.
Wow.
And it was really fantastic for an education I could never have bought. If anybody had $10 million with the greatest players of all time, Larry Carlton was the guitar player, Louis Shelton, Hal Blaine played on more hits than any other recorded musician in history.
Wow.
And he was the drummer. And I, you know, to say, I learned, I soaked it up like a sponge. So yeah, music has always been a big part of my life. I grew up around it. And as an actor, I learned so much from working in television, not just doing the Partridge Family. I did a lot of, before the Partridge Family,
sure.
The year before, I did a lot of television guest stars from Bonanza, Mod Squad, Ironsides. And I got to meet and work with some of the most fantastic. Marcus Welby,
mm-hmm.
Robert Young. I was 18 years old, 19 years old, just turned 19. And Robert Young, after I worked with him and I guess starred in his show, Marcus Welby, he hand wrote me a letter afterwards that was so generous and so fantastic that, I mean, he probably was the male icon of 50s and 60s,
sure.
70s television.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, other than Jackie Gleason, maybe, or, you know, Lucy on her side, but Robert Young was such a fantastic actor and such a wonderful man. I never forgot that. You know, to take the time out, having done 6,000 television shows, take the time out with an 18, 19-year-old actor to write him a letter telling him how impressed he was with my work ethic and my commitment and my talent, and meant a lot to me.
The idea for the Partridge Family then comes from where?
The Cowsills.
Okay.
It comes from Bernie Slade, Bernard Slade's imagination, which he at the time was at Screen Gems Columbia as a staff writer-producer, getting paid minimally. And if I told you probably what he was being paid, it would be shocking to create the goose that laid the golden egg.
Absolutely.
Anyway, the Partridge Family became his most successful venture all over the world. And he decided afterwards, since he wasn't making much, neither did any of us, but they made over $500 million just in my merchandise.
Wow.
Anyway, Bernard Slade then went on to write Tribute, and both in the theater and on film, and same time next year.
Mm-hmm.
With Alan Alda, and Jack Lemmon did Tribute. Anyway, he's a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright, and he had a great mind, a great imagination. And what I learned from the last 5 or 6 years from fans and people and their kids coming up to me is that the idea of a family, as naive and innocent as the world still was and television was, the idea, with great songs, a chemistry between the actors, the idea that a family could have their differences, fight and tear each other up in a kind but sort of gentle way, and then get together and get on a bus and go out and play music together was, I think, the thing that magically inspired people, that made them go, wow. Because I think from their own domestic life, a lot of kids from 6 to 60 saw that and identified with the characters, but also fantasized about having a family like that. And I think that's the magic of what Bernie created.
Sure. Did they cast you first and then, you know, approach Shirley, or did they approach Shirley first and Shirley
really
said,
great.
You know, I think my stepson would be great for this project.
No. Fascinating story. I had come off of doing all these guest shots in the way television works. I became in the industry a really hot young actor. And I, at the end of the year, started doing auditions for pilots.
Okay.
And I did altogether 7 auditions, beginning with the assistant casting director, then the casting director, then the associate producer casting director, and then the executive producer. Anyway, then you get to the head of the studio, and then you have to go to the network, and then at the end of those 6, you actually have to do a filmed screen test on the stage with a camera crew, a director. So I show up after doing 6 over a 6-week period of time, and they get down to 2 actors for each role.
Right.
I walk on the set. The only role that was not cast was the lead mother.
Right.
I walk on the set on the soundstage. I'll never forget it. And, you know, there was soundstage lights, and there I see my father's wife, Shirley Jones. And I walk, slowly I walk up to her, and she sees me and recognizes, and almost simultaneously, what are you doing here? I said, what are you doing here? She said, well, as of last night, I became the lead in the show. I said, well, that's fascinating. I'm doing the screen test to play your son. And she said, shall we tell them? I said, no, let's not tell them. Because my father wasn't famous like that. No one associated Shirley with me. Mm-hmm. With a, you know, at the time I was 19. And she looked, she was 36. Mm-hmm. She looked fantastic. She still does.
Sure.
But, you know, her 37 years old. And they just didn't put two and two. After we did the screen test, she said, I'm going to call the producer and tell them that you and I, they make their own decisions, obviously, but you and I are very close friends and there is no conflict. Because I think it would have worked against me had she not done that.
Hmm.
I think they would have thought, uh-oh, stepmother, you know, domestic problems on the set, who needs that? In the end, I got the job, and Susan Day and Danny Bonaducci was in another, the other B team, and they pulled him out. And, you know, they mix and matched all of us, and they were right. The chemistry was very, very good for all the actors in the show.
And only you and Shirley were the only two musicians. Real musicians mm-hmm. on the show.
Yeah, I actually played guitar.
Right.
And in my screen test, the scene we did, they had an old guitar that had been around in cobwebs for 3 years from the Monkees. I strapped on this Stratocaster and I plugged it in, and I actually played a little bit of Voodoo Child, Slight Return. I played this Hendrix lick, which I, at the time, 19 years old, Hendrix was still alive.
Yep.
You know, I thought was pretty hip because I didn't have any idea what kind of music. There wasn't any music at the time. We were putting together, you know, actors were doing a screen test. There weren't songs. None of that had been decided. So eventually they cast it. I got the role, and we shot the pilot. And they invited me to come to the studio because they knew I sang. They knew I played. They didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the network didn't care. They thought they don't cast television shows by who plays drums best or guitar best.
Right.
They cast you as an actor. And had I not landed that role, I would not be doing all of those hits that I recorded on my latest CD and that sold 35 million records and launched my music career. And I got to work with the greatest writers and producers of all time.
David's newest CD, titled David Cassidy Part 2, The Remix, is available in all Target stores.
They're actually new recordings, all new.
All new recordings.
Same hits from I Think I Love You, I Woke Up in Love This Morning, I'll Meet You Halfway, you know, Could It Be Forever, and Cherish, and all of my own solo stuff. But the producer-writer, Craig J., who arranger, who's a brilliant musician, is coming into play along with the divas, and mm-hmm. he's been working with Beyonce and, you know, Mariah Carey and all of those. And he heard my music. He's 28 years old, so he didn't exactly grow up with it,
sure.
but he has heard through the radio and everything else. And he called me and said, I would love to arrange and produce this project. And I said, well, okay, well, give me an idea of what we're talking about. So we got together, and he began to play. He's a graduate of Juilliard and beyond. And he started just in 30 seconds. We started to play a little bit. And I understood exactly what he was talking about. And he said, great songs, just put a contemporary spin on them, pay homage to the material, pay homage to the songs and your fans and people that have wanted you to sing them. Mm. You know, I spent 10 years in the theater and in Las Vegas and never sang any of my hits. I wrote original music for the shows from, you know, EFX at the sure. MGM Grand and all that. I wasn't doing concerts. I was working 10 shows a week in Las Vegas and playing different characters. So it became an opportunity for me to go back and sing these great songs and to celebrate it with my fans. They've been amazing. And that's what I'm going to do for the first time, introduce the entire new CD with all my hits and all the original musicians and singers that recorded with us. You know, I want to celebrate with the people that grew up with it and their kids. And, you know, my 16-year-old, who is he's a very fine musician. And he plays bass. He's in the All-State Choir. Actually, his choir was one of five high school choirs that was chosen to perform chorally that little venue in New York. I think it's called Carnegie Hall.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. He's 16.
Wow.
Playing at Carnegie Hall. Mm-hmm. Singing at Carnegie Hall. So, you know, he thought my old stuff, he thought the songs were good. But when he heard it, he said, "Dad, that's actually very cool." Mm. Like, friends of mine, they actually like it. You know, he had it in the car. He was playing it for a couple of his buddies that are musicians. And like, wow, your dad's actually kind of cool. So it's the first time in 17 years I've been on the cover of Billboard and had one of my CDs and music reviewed in People magazine. So I guess it's working.
I'm guessing that, you know, all the reviews and People and Billboard and Variety and all that, what it all comes down to is that validation by one's child that, hey, Dad, you're really cool.
Way more than anything else they can write about you or say about you. I mean, it's nice to be relevant, otherwise, as opposed to just being a dinosaur or an icon or any of the labels that you get on it. But ultimately, I'm a musician and I'm a writer and I'm a singer and I'm an actor and I'm a producer and all the things I love to do, I have had an opportunity to do as a result of being in the Partridge Family and as a result of having an incredible support from the public. Mm. They've come and bought my CDs, watched my television shows, seen me in the theater, seen me in Las Vegas. And without that, I'd be out somewhere pumping gas or saying, would you like fries with that? You know, seriously, a lot of the culture has changed so much that I think everybody knows how to market now. When I started in the music business, marketing was eggs, butter, cheese,
milk,
bread.
Yeah,
I never heard the word. Never. There was no department called marketing. It was just there.
Yep.
And here, press the record, put it out, put it on the rack, and hopefully they'll buy it and have a radio promotion, and hopefully they'll play it. So it's changed so dramatically. But I don't know that the people that when you're 21, 22, 23 years old, we are all invincible and don't realize that in 20 years from now, you're going to appreciate things. Every breath you take, doesn't matter. You know, the sun shining, their leaves turning, all of those things that we just all take for granted.
Sure.
As a kid, you appreciate everything more in your life. And for me, the validation of hearing it from my son, who I have a lot of respect for, he's a very, very talented musician. And, you know, he's way deep into the music that is going on.
One final question before I let you go. Son's a musician, dad's musician, actor.
Mm-hmm.
Any plans for, like, David Cassidy playing the father role and your son in the Keith Partridge role?
That would be an interesting one. I don't know that I would call it the Partridge. It's a great idea. The Partridge Family was such an important
Everything old creative, is new again, though.
Oh, yeah. But creative influence and impact that it had on the culture and everything else. And, you know, I'm known for, I had a house in Hawaii. I strung some shells with a hole in it, put a string and tied it on and went on TV. And then I became the puka shell god, you know, and the shag haircut god. I didn't, innocence, I'm still a hippie. You know, I just still love to play and I love to entertain people and bring light in their lives. And I get it back from people tenfold. But it's a very good idea, essentially. I don't know that I'd use the Partridge Family, but maybe something kind of like it. I'd love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Something kind of like it, like be the patriarch of the family and, you know, I could spin that a little bit.
Just remember who gave you the idea.
I will.
All right.
Okay.
David, thanks for being with us here.
So nice to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All the best.
You've been listening to Studio 89.7, a monthly program that focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors. Please join us again the second Monday of each month for Studio 89.7, exclusively here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.